Second Kings chapter number 7. Somebody said to me one time, I don't think you ought to laugh in church. And I said, I've been there when they weren't. I love it a whole lot better. I appreciate the Lord. Appreciate the good preaching. I wish Brother Sutton could just have bogged in there for a while. And I appreciate the preaching. All of it's been good. Brother Shepherd, all of it's been good. Two great messages this morning. And then last night, Brother Hardin started us off and challenged us. I appreciate the Lord blessing as He has. Now, if you're marking your Bible, I preached a message on this probably 2 years or 3 years ago, but it's a different message. And so, but y'all sing the same song, so I got to write to preach the same sermon. Right. Amen. But I really have something that God stirred in my heart yesterday. I preached from this years ago. Is that in the direction I'm going tonight? But I want you to really pray God will help me to be used of God. That's what I want to do. Be used of God to stir up something in all of us to the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. I do want to say, Brother Shepherd, thank you for the support. Of course, most of you know this is where Harvest Time Broadcast was born. 14 years, Brother Hall.
Amen.
14 years. It was on the first day of September. It was the closing of this meeting when Brother Hall dumped this in my lap, and I've never forgiven him. I really don't know now the way electronics is how many times I'm broadcasting. I know of about 124, 25 times a day I'm supposed to be broadcasting. If some of them hadn't for some reason dropped it. Now then there's all those little internet stations popping up. And I found out in the last couple of months I'm on two of them. I found out I'm being broadcast on a school television channel, audio, in two counties.
Amen.
In North Carolina.
Amen.
And so anyway, He's God, it's just out there.
Yes,
and I go ahead and say this while I'm there. My radio bill runs now probably $6,400 a month. You can pay any month you want to. If you can't pay a month, Brother Herbert, $300 a day. I'll take it a couple of days or 5 days or 10 days. But God's God.
Amen.
And I make no complaint. It's not a burden. I don't really look at it as a burden. It keeps me on my knees for God. But if that's what it takes to get the Word of God out, I was thinking over that a while ago, and I've got to ask myself the question over and over again, don't you turn me off at what I'm fixing to say, but do I really have confidence in the gospel I'm preaching?
Right. Amen. That's good.
I do, but do I really?
Right.
Yeah. If I don't, it's foolish to sit down there and look at those shades and the curtain and the wall day after day and preach. I'm telling you, I still believe the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And I'm going to go ahead and say this as well. I believe Christ died for everyone, and the gospel is owed to everyone in our generation. I do believe that. I do believe that. And I believe God would call enough people to reach our generation if we had the right relationship with God in the Great Commission. I remember, just to remain standing a moment, you've been sitting a long time. I was in a meeting down in Chattanooga years ago when Dr. Robertson was pastoring there, and they were having a forum. It was a mission conference. They were having a forum like this, and they had the choir full of the mission leaders, the different mission boards and mission directors and just different aged men of missions. And they were taking questions, a moderator was from the congregation, and present them to one of the members up there, that forum. And somebody stood up and was recognized, and he said, do you not think we can get too many missionaries where we cannot afford to support them all? And the gentleman said, I'd love to answer that, but I'll do what I'm supposed to do. So he referred it on to another man, and he was standing against the rail on the front pew of the choir. Boy, and he slapped the top of that rail and said, no! And the moderator said, I agree with you, but tell me what's behind that big no. He said, I believe if God called half of the congregation of any church to the mission field, the other half would support him.
Amen.
The man looked at him and said, why do you say that? And he said, they'd be afraid God's going to call them.
Yeah.
Amen. I appreciate the Lord. Let's read 2 Kings chapter number 7. And I begin with verse number 3. The Bible tells us here, bear for me your passage. The Bible said, and there were 4 leprous men at the entering into the gate, and they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. that therefore come and let us fall under the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. They arose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they came to the camp, to the outermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled. By the way, that means run. And fled for their lives. Running for their lives. Verse number 8, the Bible said, and when the lepers came into the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried them silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. Now, verse 9 is my text. The Bible said, then said they one to another, then said they one to another, we do not well. It is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light come, some mischief will come upon us. And therefore come, now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. So they came and called unto the porter of the city, and they told the porter, they told him, saying, we came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither horse of man, but horses tied and asses tied, and the tents as they were. And he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. Keep your Bible open. Let's bow our heads and hearts for a moment of prayer. Then the message from God's eternal word. Our precious Heavenly Father, again, dear Lord, tonight in the throne of grace and mercy in Jesus' name, I bow before you in prayer. Father, I do want to say thank you for the joy of salvation. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful privilege I've been blessed of God with to be born in America, the land of Bibles, the land of churches, the land of Christians, the land of preachers. Lord, all of my life, I've had access to the Word of God, to the house of God, to the people of God, to men of God. Lord, I do not know what it would be like for that not to be so in my life. But yet, Lord, I'm aware as I stand in this pulpit tonight that multitudes of people have no Bible, no church, no preacher, and they have no Christian to witness to them. They live in heathen darkness, and they'll die there. The only hope they have of heaven is we who have the gospel to get it to them before it's too late. Oh, God, help us not to hold our peace any longer, but Lord, to involve ourselves and invest ourselves in the work of reaching the unreached with the gospel of Christ. Thank you for the mission outreach of this church and these people that are represented here from other churches. Oh, God, I pray first for my own heart tonight. Lord, you heard Brother Hardin in the prayer room tonight. Make that request. Yes, Lord. Oh, God, stir my soul, my spirit, with a burden and an awareness of the fact that sinners are going to hell. Yes. And the awfulness of eternity without God. And Lord, may each of us tonight, like Isaiah, make a fresh commitment and say, here am I. Send me. Lord, I want to give you the rest of my life, whatever it is, to be used in the service of God. Your will be done, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Do keep your Bible open, please, for the message this evening from the Word of God. I call your attention tonight back to verse number 9. Where the Bible said, then said they one to another, we do not well. This is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. That therefore come that we may go and tell the king's household. Look at me just a moment. I'm going to preach for a while this evening on this subject. We do not well if we do not tell. We do not well if we do not tell. Brother Shepherd, Senior, I suppose it was you made the statement a while ago. God calls on all of us to be involved in the work of missions. Messenger is not just something for a select or a called few of God's people that He calls to go. I want to reinforce what He said. God calls on all of us to pray. And God calls on all of us to give. And God calls, can I go a step further than you did, on all of us to go. It may be not across the sea, it might be across the street, but everybody, I'm not correcting, preacher, everybody should be involved in getting this message of the gospel out. We do believe, do we not, that Christ tasted death for every man. We do believe He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I said we do believe that. Or do we believe it? Do we believe it enough to cause us to invest our living, our giving, in the work of the Lord? There's a lot of great messages here, and I've enjoyed preaching more than one, more than two of them, but I want to focus in tonight on three things and give you just an introduction from the Word of God about these four lepers, and then three things about them that I want to make an application, and I'll be through with 12. I never make it on Sunday night, but I usually make it on Thursday night. I don't even on Sunday morning, but never on Sunday night. I want you to see, and I'm just going to dive right in. Look at me just a moment. I'm assuming most of you know the story I'm dealing with here. Chapter number 6. Samaria has been besieged. And what the besieging was, they just brought their troops in and set up a blockade. And going to use a good Kentucky expression, they're starving them out. No water, no food. That does get people's attention. And it got to the point the famine is so bad, we learned in chapter number 6, that they're selling donkey heads for 80 pieces of silver. Not bodies, heads. They're selling dove's dung for a small 5 shekels, I believe it is. And Brother Shepherd, I don't want to be rude, but if that's what you're serving at church tonight, I'm going to McDonald's. I may get some there as well, but I don't want no donkey head and I don't want any dove's dung. But it got so bad, two mothers got together and literally agreed to boil their baby boys and eat them. They did the first one. I don't know which one gave, but one of them, Brother Shepherd, they took her son. And boy, can you imagine, I don't want to be gross, but can you imagine, how would you eat your own baby? But then in the midst of this, God, God brings forth a plan of deliverance. Amen. I want to tell you, can I challenge you? Okay, the devil never has put anybody in a jam that God couldn't get them out. Hallelujah, there is no such hopeless thing than the shout of God. My friend, God's still master. He's still Lord. He's still over all. And God can conquer any bad situation that comes anywhere against the work of God. Somebody say hallelujah. God moves. Not like I would have moved. No, he didn't. I just never would have chosen God's plan. But I like the way God does it. God goes outside the city, and I might want to call them four social rejects if that wouldn't bother you. They're four leprous men. I'm going to give you this. I can't spend a lot of time here. I don't really need to. I thought Brother Shepherd wrote this down first of all. There's their void. Four lives. Brother Hall with nowhere to go. Nothing to do. Can I just say this? Get up in the morning. Eat a bite of breakfast. They had breakfast. Go somewhere where they could find a comfortable spot as they could find. and sat down and talked till noon. Go eat lunch, and they didn't have three meals a day in this famine. But get in that picture. When lunch is over, go back and sit down and talk. And at the close of the day, nothing's happened. Except they've lived another day. And they go to bed with no hope of anything being any better tomorrow.
Yep.
You're, of course, of a picture of a sinner, void, vain, vexation of spirit in their life. But as I look at this verse again, Brother Shepherd, I see not only there's the vanity or the void, their life, but I see their visitor. Brother Joel Gray, I need you to run around this building for me here on to get this and put them short legs to work. In their despair, in their darkest moment, in their time of utter hopeless and helpless, the God of glory looked down and God saw them and knew them and God pays him a visit. Hallelujah, I'm glad that Christ Jesus came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He goes down there to the most unlikely crowd there was around there. And he brings them a vision.
Right.
There's a void, there's a vacancy. There's a void, there's a vision. Then there's a vision. They're sitting there talking. I got four young boys here. I'm going to let these boys from the leper just a moment tonight. One of them speaks up now. Yorker Fellowship. One of them said, why sit we here till we die?
Yeah.
You know what I'd like to say to him? You can't do nothing else but that.
Yeah.
The next one says, if we go back in the city, we'll die there.
Yep.
The third one said, if we sat here, we're going to die. And the fourth man comes up with this. What I'm calling a vision. He said, you know, fellas, God speak tonight. Please, Lord, speak. If we go to the enemy camp, our hope of living is getting out of our comfort zone and getting into the camp of the enemy. Can I say what I want to say? Please don't be offended. Stay with me. But I want to say this tonight. We're not going to win the world sitting on the church pew singing Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Now I know Christians ought to be in church. I know we ought to sing Blessed Assurance. But I'm telling you, we must have a vision in our soul that we must hear that voice and we must have a vision that will cause us to step out of our comfort zone and get out there in enemy territory where the lost is at and get the gospel to them. For it's eternally too late. There's not only their boy, their visitor. There's the vision. They get up and start toward enemy territory. If I were going to preach that outline, I'd close it by using their victory. Watch me. In one of the most hopeless cases I know of in the Bible, for humanly speaking, to bring this victory, God, through four nobodies, four unknown, four unnamed, four, may I use the word again respectfully, four rejects.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so glad that God does not have to have the super spiritual guy, and God does not have to have the big name fella, and God doesn't have to have Mr. Personality. God can take anybody that will obey God, and God can rob victory through them for himself to the glory of God, and much people be saved. Grace of God. When I look at their victory, I'm just going to say this, and I got to move to where I really want to go tonight. The whole town, Brother Herbert, they stopped dying. Babies stopped crying. And by tomorrow morning, I'm using just conversational language, they have bread aplenty and cheap at the gate of the city. When I look at these, there's three thoughts come to my mind about these, and I want to give it to you. First of all, I want to meditate for just a moment upon these four lepers. And I want to say to you, when we look at them, we realize that they're undeserving recipients of the mercy of God. They were already under the judgment curse of God, being a leper cast outside. Undeserving recipients of the mercy of God. Oh, can I shout out to you tonight? I'm glad that the God of this Bible is a God of mercy. He does not grant mercy to those who deserve it or to those who can accomplish it. No, thank God He takes the reject, the cast out, the nobody, and God opens up the mercy of God, and God brings mercy in a time of distress to who He wants to be used. In the service of God, God chooses who He pleases
yes.
to accomplish what He purposes.
Amen. Amen.
Undeserving recipients of the mercy of God. Then they go find the bread. I've got to cut this thing short. They go find the bread. And Brother Doug, they start eating that bread. They grab a loaf and grab a handful and run out of the tent with it, take it over and hide it among their possession. Am I right? You with me?
Right.
Go back. Now, you fellas that's smart, help me. I can't get this all figured out. Brother Hardin, the only reason I can figure out they're hiding that food, Brother Herbert, was for themselves
right.
at a later date.
That's right.
That sound all right?
Yep.
Thinking of number one. Thinking of a rainy day.
Right.
Thinking maybe I don't know what's on down the road. You've got a choice to make in life. Are you going to let God assure and ensure your old age, or are you going to try to do it yourself?
Right.
Yeah. Promise you do it yourself and you'll probably lose it, but you let God secure it and it'll be there on time.
Amen.
They're over there. They make two or three trips out preaching, and all of a sudden, God pays them another visit.
Yep.
And starts whispering something else in their ear. You know what it was this time? Not only realized they were undeserving recipients of God's mercy, but they realized there was an urgency in God's message.
Amen.
God had said tomorrow morning about this time, there'll be bread there to eat. You know what they realized? We found the bread. Can I go ahead and say what I want to, please? We stuffed our gut. We're about to pop. We got plenty stored up. But they wouldn't Baptist, I don't think, in this next step. They said, but back in town, there are individuals, there are people, there are families that are starving to death. And we've got what they need.
That's right.
Are we going to keep it to ourselves?
Right.
We're going to feed them.
Amen.
I like the urgency of it, preacher. They said if we wait till daylight. Now you can calculate this. They leave at twilight. I believe it's got to be about midnight. If we wait till morning light. Not if we wait 6 months.
Right.
Not if we wait another year. Young people, not if I wait till I get 30. There's an urgency
Amen.
In God's message.
Amen.
God said, they said, this is a day of good tidings.
Right.
And we hold our peace. Can I paraphrase that and say, we're keeping our mouth shut.
Right.
We're living to ourselves and we're forgetting about all of them that have nothing to eat while we're stuffed.
Yep.
And if we don't get this bread to them, something's going to happen to us.
That's right.
Oh, I wish I could bog in there for a little while. There's enough power in that gospel to save every sinner from every sin. Amen. The salvation message is good news. Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture and was buried according to the Scripture and rose again the third day according to the Scripture. But wait a minute. It is not good news to those who do not hear it. Help me, Holy Ghost. We have got, preacher, that which would keep sinners out of hell.
Yes, sir.
And prepare them for heaven. But we're so wrapped up in satisfying ourselves. I've been trying to work this and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal it in my life. But I'm going to be honest with you. Brother Hall, I just have not been able to comprehend yet what it'd be like standing at the judgment seat of Christ and sinner's blood dripping from my fingertips. I didn't look at you because you started, but about every radio station preacher I've gone on to, I've said to that program manager, all I want to do is get the blood of this generation off of my fingertips before I go meet God. I don't know the doctrinal theology of it. You can figure that out later. But some of you old-timers used to me. There used to be an old song. I guess it's kind of our millennial preacher. But they talked about that judgment day. And them sinners would say, you never mentioned him to me.
Yeah.
You helped me not the light to see. You met me thee that day and you knew I was astray. Yeah, you never mentioned him to me. We know Christ died for all. We believe that. We say we do. We know there's enough power in the gospel to save all. We believe they do. There he is. We say they do. We believe there he is. But I want to say it again. The gospel is of no value to those who've never heard. And we're holding our peace. Now, before I say what I want to say, I want to preface it saying this. I like camp meetings. I like shout it out. I like hoop and holler. Everybody understand what I said? If you know me, you know I like it. Now, I'm not going to put the brakes on, Brother Herb, but I'm going to throw some white gas on it. Might get a little fire going. I love it. But if we're not careful, we console ourselves and having a big time. That's right. Stuffing our guts for what we got and ignoring that hungry world that has not had the bread of God from heaven. If we don't get the gospel to them, mischief will follow us. Come daylight, the judgment seat of Christ. So we see there. There are recipients, undeserving recipients of the mercy of God, God's mercy. They're undeserving. They realize the urgency of God's message. But then they realize unusual rewards in God's ministry. I want to say this is so simple. But Shepherd, all they did was went and told. Can I say that? Somebody said a missionary is somebody who used to be hungry but found bread. And now then they're busy going telling the other hungry where the bread is.
Amen.
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 Amen. So here's a guy who's been over there. They found plenty to eat. And they know where the starving crowd's at.
Yep.
And all they got to do is just go tell them, we found the bread.
Amen.
We found the bread. Amen. We found the bread. A lot of them didn't believe it.
Yep.
Some did.
Yep.
They found the bread. And as a result of them obeying God, watch this. The whole city was fired. The entire city was fired from starving to death, suffering, malnutrition. Undeserving recipients. The urgency of the message of God. And then there's unusual results in the ministry of God. Let me flip the page for just a few moments. I'll be through shortly. When I read this, I was made to remember. I, too, am an undeserving recipient of the mercy of God. I sit in that motel room this evening. I don't know how many times, Brother White, I said to myself, what did I do to deserve? Hear the gospel. What did I do to deserve to be saved with the grace of God? What did I do to deserve to be born, whether it's a Bible, whether it's a church, whether it's a preacher? What did I do? I'm telling you, I did nothing. I confess to that. I am an undeserving recipient of the mercy of God. I should have gone to hell like every other sinner, but God, thank God, God extended mercy, and I stand here not now because I deserved it. I am undeserving.
Yes, sir.
And by the way, listen, if in you, you are too. Not a person in this building tonight could stand up, Brother Plato, and say, I deserve to hear the gospel. I deserve to be saved. Undeserving recipient. I don't have time going this. I'm an undeserving recipient of the gospel. I'm an undeserving recipient, Brother Sutton, of grace. I'm an undeserving recipient of the glory of God. I've had and heard the gospel of God. I've experienced the grace of God. I've experienced, many of us, Brother Shepherd, we have been in places and saw the glory of God that some people who are saved will live a lifetime and all they ever do is just read about getting in the glory.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Do I deserve it? No. Do you deserve it? No. We're undeserving recipients.
That's right.
For the mercy of God. I want to say number two. Not only there's the undeserving recipient of the mercy of God, but there's the urgency realized in the message of God. Now, I want to ask you something. I wish the Holy Ghost would take preaching beyond me, Brother Herbert. Just I need the Holy Ghost to say something. Brother Herbert, I can't say. I need Him to say some things I can't say. I wish somehow Brother Hall for Stinnett Blue, I wish God would really stir my soul with the urgency of getting the message of God to a lost and dying world.
Yes, sir.
It's easy to say I'm doing all I can do.
Yep.
Come on, now don't die on me. I'll let you know when it's dying down.
Right.
We need, Brother Sutton, I can't explain it, but we need a driving force that'll make us get out of our comfort zone. Like you said, make us miss a meal,
right.
Lose some sleep,
yep.
Shed some tears.
Yep.
That'll make us put our wallet on the altar.
Amen.
That cause us to give up some recreation, cause us to give up some popularity contests, cause us to give up some prestige of the brother, and give our lives for the purpose of men, women, boys, and girls that's lost and headed for hell with no hope.
Amen.
But you and I,
yes,
get up off of our stool of do-nothing.
Amen.
I can't save them, preacher, but that gospel I got can. Amen, Brother Herbert.
Yeah.
I'm glad it ain't left up to me and you with me in the failure. But the gospel is the power of God, the salvation to everyone that believeth.
Yes, sir.
But I read in that Bible, how shall they call upon Him whom they not believed? How shall they believe on Him whom they not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And I'm not splitting frog hairs when I say this. But it said, how shall they preach except they... You said it right. It didn't say except they be called. God does have to call the preacher to preach. Don't misunderstand me. That's God's business, Brother Shepherd. He's still calling them. We got some sitting around here tonight. He's called them. But these fellows can't... This couple can't get to India. It's not because they're not called. As far as I know, you're called. I'm not putting a question on that. But they need people like us.
Yep.
It'll send them.
That's right.
Dear brother, I never met you at this meeting. I met your wife in a previous conference, but I never met you, I don't think. If I'm wrong, don't tell me right here in front of everybody. Don't embarrass me. I'm not wrong, though. I got a sneaking idea. You'd be ready to get on a boat in 30, a ship, on an airplane in 30 days and fly to India if you had the support. Whatever the preference. Amen.
Right.
I don't know how far you're on, but 2-3 years now, still calling preachers. Can I come? In 1978, I made my first trip to the island of Jamaica. God so stirred my soul down there, Brother Herbert, we committed our church at Bethel and Jacksburg to build them an initial building, just a block building. And it's going to be a half of a church building. They built another side of it, went out, grew that, and turned it the other way. We committed $4,000. We could build it for $4,000. I went back down in 1981 for the dedication. I believe 81 went back down to him for the dedication of that building, Brother Harden. They honored my wife and I. They had gone up on Ocho Rios at the northern part of the island. And Brother Shepherd, they had rented on the top floor, the 11th floor, a suite for me and my wife 3 days. It was the reward for the man who had a vision for us to have a church.
Amen.
And because I'm telling you what they said. Because of that vision, we got a church. And because we got a church, the majority of the membership, well over 100, got saved. And they honored me. They honored me and my wife.
Amen.
Because we had a part in them being saved by the grace of God. But if they told, the number may be small in the eyes of man, but there'll be some of those folk from Kansas.
Yes, sir.
They're going to come to them supporting churches and say, thank you for sending us a preacher.
Amen.
There'll be some radio listeners.
Yep.
I'm talking about from your station, not just my wrong time. But hard, and there'll be some of them folk you preach and look like nobody moved, nothing happened. But God didn't let His word fall void.
Amen.
But Sutton, we've drove all night long many times. I know you have, I have, many other preachers have. I'm not complaining. I've got too many good stories to tell any bad. I have been in a few meetings when things didn't go like I wanted them to.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, one glimpse of the results, the fruit that God has brought out of our joint efforts. Nobody's a single man in this thing. We're all laborers together. Unusual, undeserving recipient. Unrealized urgency. Then there's the unusual results. What happened? Brother White, Brother Troy, where are you at? Brother Troy, not Troy, y'all know Troy. You probably never thought nobody's reading them. But I read them prayer letters when you first went to the name of that town up there. I can't.
Oaxaca.
Oaxaca. And I'm telling you, they were, I don't mean it wrong, please. I believe a missionary ought to be honest with his supporting churches.
Sure.
But there were some sad, dark days up there in the beginning of that work. But it's paid off now.
Amen.
Maybe not as much fruit as you want, but there'll be some of them there.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Right.
I'm telling you, and I close with this. But a shepherd through there, obeying the urgency of that message. They saw one town spared from starvation and physical death.
Yeah.
But Brother Hall, we're not talking about beans and taters. We're talking about the bread of life.
Amen.
And we're not talking, preacher, about somebody being put in a coffin and rolled out here and put in a cemetery. We're talking about souls dying without God in
right.
eternal death and
right.
burning in the flames of hell.
Amen.
Forever. This is a day of good tidings. And we hold our peace. I've joined the crowd of these other men. I'm not as young as I used to be. I don't know. I believe, Brother Shepherd, I'd be safe in saying at least a dozen times in the last year or more. I found myself in sincerity, Brother Hall. I found myself before God, Brother Bell, saying, Lord, I don't know how many days I've got left, but I want you to take them and use them.
Amen.
And make them count for you.
Yes, sir.
Dale, I believe I can truly say, I know you don't know you. I believe, Brother Herbert, I believe I can truly say, I seek no fame. My name's already known too much. I'm not trying to make a name for Stinnett Blue. I seek no fame. I don't care nothing about a big bank account, about a roll of money. God pays my bills. I want to live comfortably like everybody else does. But I'm not in this thing for money.
Right.
Not in it for fame. I'm not in it for fortune. Missionary from Africa contacted me, Brother Hall. And he said, Brother Blue, I was a lost sinner, and I heard you on radio. And he didn't get saved, listen to me. He said, God started, his word was whooping up on me through that message he was preaching on the radio. Saved and serving God for us, I know, right this minute in the continent of Africa.
Amen.
That's payday.
Yeah.
That'll be worth it all.
Amen.
That'll be worth everything. Unusual! Let me tell you something. I will close. I've got to close. Let me tell you this. I started pastoring when I was 23 and knew everything. I started my first church. God just... I think I'm saying this right, preacher. God just give us a ministry there in that community. I mean, God, 23 years old, Brother Sutton, and God just... I baptized, there hadn't been a move of God through there in 25 years, and in 3 years, Brother Shepherd, I baptized 72 people. In 20 months, Brother Herbert, we went from zero to running 100 in Sunday school. And I went full-time 20 months after starting that church from zero.
Amen.
And you hear what I'm saying? Hadn't been a move of God through there in 25 years. And kids didn't have their own cars. And they was looking for a place to go. And we got an old bus and run it through the community and picked them up.
Yep.
And God started that.
Amen.
Three little girls rode the bus. There's a few more than that. But three little girls, sisters, rode the bus. And I'm still sitting in my mind. One of them girls, unfailing. Dale, you know the family I'm talking about. I'd raise a hand and say, pray for my oldest sister and her husband. Martha Ann had been saved, but was not in church. It hadn't been for some time, but her husband, Walter, had never been saved. I started visiting with him, working with him for about 18 months, and Walter got saved. To make the story short, come on, join the church. I baptized him. He became my choir director, one of the best human friends I'd had.
Amen.
I got a phone call on a Saturday afternoon. He said, there's been a bad wreck where freight walls killed. Can you come to the hospital? And I went up there, and sure enough, he was dead on arrival. Sunday morning, preacher, all you pastors have done this, Brother Hall. I got the arrangements. It's going down to the funeral home Saturday morning, Sunday morning, 9 o'clock for the arrangements. We was going to meet at 5, family and friends. You know what I'm talking about. And my wife and I, Brother Hall, Martha was a little over a year older than I am. Walter's a little bit older than she was. And Brother Hardin, my wife and I walked down the aisle with that new wedded woman helping her. And Brother Herbert, you've done it. We stood right there with him and wept with him. But you know, the preacher, he just got to stiffen up. He just got to, you know, help the others through.
Right.
Wife came by, mama came by, sister. They adopted that little boy. He's 3 years old, and I picked him up and held him up and let him look over in the cold face of his daddy. Finally, everybody got through, and I'm standing there with my moment of just meditation. I'm thanking the Lord for saving me. Thanking the Lord, what a friend he's been. All of a sudden, I get aware of the fact somebody's standing behind me, just near me. I look, and Sister Williams is about your size, height. She's a little shorter lady. his mama, Brother Herbert, and I just, she's older, he's older than I was, so I put my arm around her shoulder and pulled her in there, and we stood there just a moment. And she spun out of my shoulder, out of my arm, and said, "You know what I was thinking, preacher?" And I said, "What?" Here's what she said, Brother Sutton, it's best I can quote it. She said, "I was just thinking, what a different story this funeral would have been if you hadn't loved him, prayed for him, and stayed after him." I've been preaching 56 years next month. I've never had anybody say that to me in all these years. But Brother Bale, at the judgment seat of Christ. I'm not complaining. I enjoy what I'm doing. I don't want to quit doing it. But I've run these roads. I preach and preach on people giving. And at the judgment seat of Christ, preacher, I want to see somebody come out. You know what I was thinking? I'm putting you both together. Please don't be offended at me doing this, but Brother Hall, Brother Shepherd, Island Ford Baptist Church, you know what I was thinking? What a different story my judgment day would have been if Island Ford hadn't allowed and prayed and given him.
Yes. Amen.
And sent us a missionary. I reckon you're in pretty good shape, but Brother Hall will have a glorified body, and we're going to have a running fit.
Amen.
Unusual results. Amen. Let's stand together, heads about, eyes are closed. Undeserving recipients. Urgent responsibility.
Yes.
Unusual results. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be therefore steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Brother Jimmy, for as much as you know that your labor's not in vain in the Lord. Undeserving recipients we all are. Urgent responsibility lies upon our shoulders. We do not well if we do not tell. Unusual reward, both here and hereafter. Lord, thank you for the touch of God.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for the message of God. Lord, I sure wish for you I could have done a better job, but please take my attempt tonight, my giving myself to you tonight and you speaking as you have. To the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, before I pray for anybody else, I want to pray for Stinnett Blue. Oh, God, would you make me more aware of the fact that I am an undeserving recipient of the mercy of God. Thank me, help me, dear Lord, to realize I have an urgent responsibility to get the message of God out. Able to realize the unusual results we can enjoy. Lord, I dare not try to tell you how to work, but I do ask that you work in our lives. Lord, grant the prayer request of Brother Hardin in the prayer room. I've been praying that line before he mentioned it. Dear Lord, I sought you this evening for a touch of God. Oh, God, let it not just be another Thursday night service in our missions jubilee. But may this be the night the Holy Ghost will say something to somebody that will change their lives. I pray in Jesus' name. What are we singing, Brother Bill?
Page 500.
500. The altar's open. Some are here praying. We do not well if we do not tell. Who are you telling? How are you telling? What part are you playing in God's great commission? Sing it, Brother Bell. You come if you need to come, Brother Shepherd will be here in a moment. Yes. Oh, God, that's my prayer, Lord. That's my prayer. Yes, Lord, yes. Well, on others, thou art calling. Lord, don't pass me by.
Do not pass me by.
Help us, Lord, these last years. Sing another verse, Brother Bell, if you will, please. You need to come. The altar's open. It may be later than you think it is. Come on. Come on. Come on. Yes. I want you to look at me just a minute. Hold it, Brother Bell. Let me see if you're praying with his son. I'm not minimizing that at all. But Shepherd, for personal contact and reference, I want you to join me just a moment. Right up here, would you please? I'm speaking to him, but I'm wanting God to speak to all of us. Everybody understand what I'm saying? Is there anybody in this building that can tell me anything any more important than getting sinners the gospel? Where they can be saved by the grace of God. I would not dare tell you how to pastor a church. I don't have that much smarts if I wanted to. I couldn't tell you, Brother Herbert, how to. I can't tell nobody. But I'm telling you, I know of nothing that ought to be any higher on the priority of the goals of my life than to get the gospel to the lost and dying.
Yes, sir.
Preaching, passing out tracts, personal witnessing, working in the church. We're all labor together.
Amen.
I hope the Holy Ghost will seal my text tonight to your heart. Yes. This is the day of good tidings.
Amen.
Are we holding our peace? If we are, something bad's going to happen at the judgment seat of Christ.
Yes, sir.
If we're not holding our peace, I don't want to use the wrong expression because it used otherwise, but something good's going to happen.
Amen.
Something wonderful's going to happen. What's more important than giving a thirsty sinner a drink of the water?
Amen.
A hungry person, the bread of life. A hopeless sinner, the hope of heaven.
Amen.
In the gospel. That sinner that's bound in the chains of sin, then letting him know God can take the scissors of grace and cut loose everything.
Amen.
Set him free.
Amen.
Amen. I want to say, as far as my thinking is concerned, preacher, that ought to be top on my list.
Yes, sir, I agree.
For the rest of my life. I am through, brother. God bless you for being patient with me.